Hello and welcome to The Cryptid Catalog, a podcast for monster lovers young and old. Before we jump in, I want to mention some of the themes in today's story. Cryptid Catalog tries to cover stories in a kid-friendly manner, but every listener has a different threshold. So to make sure this story is suitable for your listeners, here are some things that you can expect to hear in today's story. Today's story contains spooky imagery, death, and mentions of monsters eating pets.
And fire extinguishers.
That's true. If all of that sounds intriguing, then sit back, get a little cozy, and come with us as we open up the Cryptid Catalog. Ready?
Yes.
Killian, picture this. It's summer and you're sitting on the back porch late at night with your family. You're just relaxing and having a popsicle. There's music being played and everyone's having a great time. Then, static plays across the radio. As everyone looks towards the radio, you look towards the forest. There, flying overhead, is a large furry creature with massive black wings and two football-sized eyes, red, glowing red in the darkness. In the blink of an eye, whatever you just saw is gone. Killian, what is this creature?
Mothman!
Mothman, you are correct. It is Mothman, so let's open up the Cryptid Catalog and find out more. Okay, so let's get started. What do you know about Mothman?
Black.
Mm-hmm.
He's black.
Mm-hmm.
He's furry.
Yep.
Furrier than Lupin.
Oh, that's pretty furry. Our dog Lupin is pretty furry.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What else?
And plus.
What are those? What are you doing? What are you doing with your arms?
Flying.
Because he has wings. That's right. And is he a big cryptid or a small cryptid?
Both.
No, he's a big cryptid. You can't be both.
Actually, he's medium-sized.
I'd say he's pretty big, but I get what you're saying. In comparison to cryptids like Nessie, yeah, I guess he is pretty medium-sized. Now, I wonder, whose favorite cryptid is Mothman? Whose? Mm-hmm.
Mommy's.
That's mommy's favorite cryptid. I'm very excited to learn more. Are you excited?
I'm excited.
All right, so first let's start with where Mothman came from.
He's from Texas.
No, but that's a good guess. So do you know where Mothman was first seen? Not Texas, do you know?
I know. Right before the Golden Bridge even was being built in.
Okay, that's very close. I have a feeling you've been asking your Echo about this.
Oh, yes. That's where I got it. And when the Rainbow Big Bridge was built in, the Mothman sightings were stopped.
Okay, that's very close. We're going to talk more about that in a second. That's very good. So, on November 12th, 1966, in the small town of Point Pleasant, West Virginia, five men who were digging a grave saw a 7-foot-tall, which is taller than Daddy, man-like figure.
Don't say that ever to Daddy because he might be upset.
Oh, okay, you're right. Man-like figure flying from the trees over their heads. It was quick and was out of view almost as soon as they saw it. But there was no mistake that this flying creature was much larger than a typical bird. A few days later, two couples were out driving the windy forest roads when they rounded a bend and slammed on their brakes. Why do you think they slammed on their brakes? What do you think might have been in the road?
A man.
Close. Mothman.
Mothman. I just added man.
Got it. There, standing in front of their car, was an alien-like, gray-winged humanoid creature. They said he looked at them with bright red eyes and then shielded his face. In an instant, huge wings shot out from the creature's back as it appeared to be afraid of the couple's car's headlights. It squatted down and blasted straight up into the sky, something no bird could do. The couple raced after the strange flying creature and said it must have flown faster than 100 miles per hour because they could not catch up to it. Soon, more and more accounts and sightings came from Point Pleasant. One man from Salem, West Virginia, even reported that he noticed strange patterns on his television. He heard his dog barking outside and a strange crackling sound. When he grabbed his flashlight and walked up to his window and looked out to investigate, he saw, to his horror, a large alien-like beast with huge red eyes, almost like bicycle reflectors, staring back at him. Its mouth was open and it was making this horrible crackling sound. Quicker than lightning, the beast swooped down on the man's dog and flew off into the night. In total, over the course of 13 months, there were over 100 Mothman sightings in Point Pleasant. So, of course, as I'm sure you can imagine, the idea of the Mothman flying around being creepy and carrying off dogs into the night made a lot of people very scared. Would you be scared if you heard stories of a giant Mothman flying around Clarksville?
Actually, I would be even more scared if...
What was that? What was that? That he was flying? Oh, you'd be more afraid for our dogs?
Yeah.
Yeah, Lupin's a pretty little dog.
Yeah, we would never let him out.
No, not if a Mothman was loose. The police were called many times and began to try and figure out what was happening. The best that they could do was to say that the Mothman wasn't a monster at all, that he was a large heron, which is a really big bird. They called it a shite poke. A wildlife biologist at West Virginia University said that the sightings fit the description of a sandhill crane who may have wandered outside its migration route. So do you think that Mothman was a real cryptid, or do you think that maybe people mistook a giant bird for a Mothman?
So people have taken 1,000 pictures of him.
That's true.
So that must mean that he's real.
You know what? I agree. So, I don't think that he's a giant bird like they think. I agree with you. I think you're right.
Yeah, that's just rude.
I side with the countless people who think something paranormal and weird is going on in Point Pleasant. Because, Killian, West Virginia is home to a few different strange cryptids. Mothman is not the only one. Just 2 hours east of Point Pleasant is the city of Flatwoods, where I'm sure you have heard of the Flatwoods Monster, who is basically a really creepy alien, and we'll talk about him another day, but...
Is he going to be our 15th episode?
Sure, why not? Then you also have Indrid Cold, or the Smiling Man, who was seen in the city of Parkersburg, West Virginia, in 1966, the same year as the first sightings of Mothman. And the strange thing about Parkersburg is that it is only 1 hour north of Point Pleasant. The Smiling Man is also said to be an alien. I bring up these other West Virginia cryptids to add to the point that something strange is definitely happening in West Virginia. So what do you think about there being so many alien-like cryptids in West Virginia all being so close to one another? Huh. What do you think? Do you think that's kind of weird?
Yeah, that's kind of weird and I got a question.
Go ahead.
How is the Smiling Man always smiling like this?
I don't know. We might have to do the Smiling Man in a future episode too, because I actually have never heard of the Smiling Man before this research. I knew about the Flatwoods Monster, but I did not know about the Smiling Man. He sounds very creepy.
Yeah, I might have a razor-sharp teeth.
He very well might. So, do you think the Mothman could be an alien or something else?
Something else.
Okay. Because with all of these alien-like cryptid sightings, a group of secret government agents that no one is supposed to know exists, called the Men in Black, came to investigate all these strange...
That's kind of like the movie Invisible Man.
What?
There's like this black man, and he's kind of like The black guy you were just talking about?
No, this is called the Men in Black. They are a secret agency, like the FBI or like the police. They're like a secret agency that is no one is really supposed to know about, but we all kind of know about anyway. And they come to investigate when strange things happen. So they came to investigate all the strange sightings in West Virginia. The Men in Black harassed several residents and anyone connected to those who saw the Mothman to tell them that everything they knew, to tell them everything they knew about the Mothman. When talking to the Men in Black, a lot of people who lived in Point Pleasant said that they believed a few different things about the Mothman. One, that he was an alien from outer space who came to Earth as a messenger of doom.
Kind of like that movie about the alien that had a tube on his head and had a brain inside.
Mars Attack?
Yeah, Mars Attack.
Yes.
That's the weird guy.
Oh, that's what you're talking about?
Yeah, that's who
I'm talking about. Okay. Two, some people said that the Mothman was once a human who got infected with toxic runoff that seeped out of a World War II bomb manufacturing plant in the deep forest just outside of Point Pleasant. Many sightings seemed to take place near there, so it made sense. The bomb manufacturing area was filled with abandoned tunnels, large underground bunkers, and crumbled up warehouses. Which seems like a pretty good place for a Mothman to hide, don't you think?
Oh, yeah.
Or there's some other people who think, most terrifying of all, that the Mothman is a large bird. Dun, dun, dun.
That is not creepy.
Oh, dang. Okay, so what do you think? So do you think, so out of the two choices, do you think Mothman is an alien from outer space, or do you think he's someone who used to be a man who got infected with toxic runoff? Which is like what happened with Gil in Kim Possible, remember? Mm-hmm. So which one do you think Mothman is? Alien or toxic runoff?
Toxic runoff.
That's what I believe, too. That's exactly what I believe. Good job.
I just read your mind.
You did read my mind. As we get into more and more cryptids, we are going to find out that the Men in Black show up quite often, but we will keep quiet on them for now. So you want to hear something strange?
Yes.
This kind of goes back to the Mothman being a harbinger of doom thing. Do you know what harbinger means? It's okay if you don't.
A heist?
Not a heist, but that's a good guess. So it's a fancy way of saying that they announce or bring information. So
now I want to say it. A harvester is...
Harbinger.
A harbinger is... Mm-hmm.
Is a fancy way of saying...
Is a fancy way of saying...
To announce...
To announce...
Or to bring...
Or to bring...
Information.
Information.
Great. People thought that seeing the Mothman meant that he was coming to warn them about a disaster that was coming. And you know what? The people in 1966 who thought that, Killian, they were right. So after months of sightings and supposed visits from the Men in Black who wanted the Mothman sightings to end, the city of Point Pleasant was struck with a massive tragedy. This is what you were talking about. Listen, this is what you were talking about. On December 15th, 1967, while holding a bustle of cars coming in and out of town doing Christmas shopping, the Silver Bridge collapsed and killed 46 people. The bridge was built when the much lighter Model T cars, were on the road. And after years of use and much heavier cars and old architecture, the bridge finally gave way and crashed into the icy waters of the Ohio River. According to the 1975 book, The Mothman Prophecies, the residents of Point Pleasant experienced recognitions and premonitions about the collapse of the Silver Bridge in addition to the Mothman prophecies. Isn't that crazy? Like how Mothman showed up and no one knew who he was and no one knew what he was, and then all of a sudden a disaster took place?
And then they said you were an Etwit?
No, they didn't say he was a nitwit. They think that he was trying to warn people about the disaster and save people's lives. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Do you think he did that?
I think that's what he did, because that's why you were just talking about 6 minutes at...
Truth.
Later.
Can I also give you some more examples of how people think Mothman did that? Mm-hmm. So, according to those who study the myth, Mothman sightings have come just before...
He's not a myth. That's just rude.
You're right. The Mothman legend have say that Mothman came just before the 1999 Russian apartment bombings, the Chernobyl disaster in 1986, the Mexican swine flu outbreak in 2009, the 2011 nuclear disaster in Fukushima, a mine in Freiburg, Germany, which scared the miners out just before the deadly collapse, and the 2001 terrorist attacks of 9/11, just to name a few. There were at least 55 Mothman sightings in Chicago during 2017, though I could not find if this was tethered to any disasters in the city.
Is Mothman pushing you from telling his story again?
No, no, no.
I thought that's what he was doing.
No, only the Bell Witch does that.
Oh, I thought the Mothman...
No, it sounds like the Mothman is very helpful, actually. Mm-hmm. He doesn't really hurt anybody. Kind of helps, doesn't he? So what do you think about the Mothman so far?
I think that he is a big bird.
Do you think that he's helpful, though, like I thought? Okay. Okay, so if you think he's helpful, then is there anything that's scary about him? His eyes. His eyes are pretty scary. You guys use your words, man. Podcasts are a verbal thing. Use your words.
Red eyes.
His red eyes. Yeah, those are pretty scary. All right. Are you ready for the stories? Your favorite part. Okay. This one is called The Thing in the Trees. The hot summer sun was setting over the California hills, and Abby was taking her black lab, Theodore, for a walk through the forest trail that ran behind her house. Abby was excited. She was 10, and this was the first time her parents were letting her take Theodore on the long trail by herself. Stepping proudly through the forest, Theodore pulled her along, sniffing wildly like he was tracking something. Abby smiled. About a halfway through their walk, she turned her flashlight on. It was getting dark and Theodore was going deeper into the forest. Abby did think it was strange that Theodore wasn't concerned with the squirrels that played in the bushes along the path. Theodore loved to chase squirrels. No, Theodore was actually tracking something. Abby's parents always told her that if she had Theodore with her, she would be safe. So even though the night was setting in, she let Theodore lead the way, the beam of her flashlight searching the path ahead. The beam of thin yellow light played across the bushes and trees, creating a creepy set of shadows as the light moved around. Suddenly, Theodore stopped and lifted his leg, pointing up towards a tall pine tree. Abby pointed her light to where Theodore was pointing, and something began to rustle in the branches. Grrr, Theodore began to growl as he brought his... As he brought his leg down and got into a defensive stance right in front of Abby. Something fell from the top of the tree and hit the ground. Abby shone the light on the ground, illuminating a rounded white rock. No, it wasn't a rock. It was an animal skull. Abby didn't have to shine the light back up into the treetop because she felt a red light glow from the top of the pine tree. Theodore began to bark as Abby, fear gripping her pounding heart, made herself look up. There in the tree, poking out of the tree limbs, was a large black head with two glowing red eyes. Scree! The thing screeched into the night as it blasted forward at an incredible speed, the force of the thing's speed knocking Abby and Theodore down on their sides. The creature's bat-like wings expanded as it flew right over them. Theodore was up first, charging after the fleeing beast. Abby narrowly grasping onto the leash as it flicked over the forest trail. Abby and Theodore chased after the monster. Abby's first thought was of her parents. They were still home, and this, well, whatever it was heading straight towards them. Out of breath and sweating, trailing behind the beast, she watched as it burst out of the forest and into her own backyard. Heaving from sprinting, she can suddenly smell it. She smelled smoke. Theodore pulled Abby out of the forest, and she saw that a fire had broke out on the side of her parents' home. The creature from the forest was perched on the top of her house. Abby could see the creature more clearly in the moonlight. The fire sending orange light and shadows across its moth-like body. It had a large black alien-like head, a thick furry body, and two large bat-like wings wrapped around itself. The creature nodded its head towards the fire, and then a humanoid arm clad in black fur emerged from its wings. It pointed a small finger at the fire extinguisher right beside the back door of Abby's house. Theodore pulled out of Abby's grip and tore across the yard to face the creature, with Abby moving as quick as she could to grab onto the fire extinguisher. The fire was small and it had just started as Abby gripped onto the fire extinguisher. She unclipped the large black tube from the side and pulled out the pin at the top, just like the firefighters had shown her at school forever ago. She pointed the fire extinguisher at the blaze and pressed down on the silver trigger. A blast of cold spray exploded from the hose as Abby sprayed from side to side to extinguish the flames. Before Abby knew it, her parents were behind her, Theodore barking and racing back towards the forest. Abby's parents kept asking where the fire extinguisher came from. What happened? Why was Theodore barking like crazy? So much was happening all at once. Abby got overwhelmed and just hugged her parents, who immediately stopped freaking out, and the three of them hugged for a very long time. Eventually, Theodore came back. Abby's dad got her a bottle of water while Abby's mom examined the fire damage. Abby's mom couldn't figure out how the fire had started. It was the dry season, and maybe the wind had carried a spark of something over to their lawn. Regardless, Abby had stopped the fire just in time. Fire was a really big deal in California this time of year, and Abby somehow found the fire extinguisher just in time. Abby sat down on the lawn chair as her dad picked up the mysterious fire extinguisher and began to examine it. "What's it say?" Abby asked, looking at her dad's puzzled face. "This is strange," he said, wiping sweat from his forehead. "The label says Point Pleasant Senior High School, West Virginia." Abby's mom came up beside her dad and looked at the fire extinguisher. Abby just looked off into the forest as Theodore sat beside her, laying his chin on her knee. Abby absentmindedly rubbed Theodore's head, just looking at the long, dark forest trail. Theodore's tail wagged happily. He had defended his house, and he knew it. So what did the Mothman do? What did he do, though? Huh? He didn't start the fire.
He did.
No, he didn't. Something else started the fire, but what did he do? What did he drop on the floor for Abby?
The fire extinguisher.
The fire extinguisher. So because of Mothman, Abby was able to stop the fire. Mm-hmm. Ooh, Mothman's the good guy. Dun, dun, dun.
Actually, Theodore was.
Theodore was also the very good guy. What a good boy Theodore was. So what was your favorite part of learning about Mothman today? What? You gotta use words.
Mothman.
What was your favorite part, though?
That he's so cool.
He's so cool. Do you have anything else to tell the people about Mothman?
This is Karina.
No.
I'm Killian.
No. What else do you have to say about Mothman?
He is super cool.
Yeah? Anything else? That it?
That's it.
Okay. Well, thank you for listening. I'm Karina.
Let's close all this up so nothing can get out.
Okay. All right. You are?
She's Karina.
Uh-huh.
I'm Killian.
And
Daddy sending everything. making everything stunned. Mm-hmm. And all the music by Will. Mm-hmm. By Will.
Mm-hmm. And this has been
The Cryptid Catalog.
Thank you for listening to The Cryptid Catalog. This show is hosted by Karina and Killian Beemisterfer. Written, researched, and edited by Dylan Beemisterfer. And the music was created and performed by Will Shelton. Grown-ups, if you would like to help support the show, please take a second to finish out the episode and listen to some ads.